This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
We took the show on the road this week. We are here live in Minneapolis ahead of Super Bowl 52 at Radio Row in the Mall of America. And man, this place is a madhouse. We are on the third floor of the Mall of America next to one of the two food courts that they have in the house here. And this place has just gotten progressively busier and busier and busier each day that we've been here this week. And it's just been a scene, man. It's been really cool. Minnesota is freezing. It is a far cry from the 70-degree weather we're having back at home right now. It's been under freezing now, I think, 3 of the 4 days we've been here. But it's been a blast, man. The people of Minnesota have been so good to us, so friendly, so open, so welcoming in every aspect. And it's been really cool to be out here. So, Mall of America, you could do a whole segment on just the mall itself. I mean, this place is incredible and a testament to the United States, I guess, in a lot of ways. It's a huge mall, right? So you picture your average mall with all your average mall stores and multiply it by 10, 15 times and throw in an amusement park for good measure, too. They have a legitimate full amusement park in the mall, which you tried out the other night, got to ride the roller coasters, do the whole deal, and it was a blast. But yeah, this place is incredible. So we've been on Radio Row all week, like I said, next to one of the two food courts, with all the other national media here, Fox Sports, ESPN, you name it, they're here. And this week, if you're a football fan, if you're a member of the media who covers football, sports, entertainment, no matter what it is, you are probably here at the Mall of America. And everyone, it seems, is here. And we've had a chance to talk to a lot of people, tons of Hall of Famers, non-Hall of Famers, sports people, entertainment people. And it's been really, really cool. And obviously, the game, the New England Patriots taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, is at the forefront of everyone's consciousness right now, and for good reason. But, we're here, so we had to throw a dash of silver and black in. And we've had the chance to talk to a lot of people, and obviously this is an incredibly exciting time right now to be a Raider, to be associated with the Raider, with John Gruden coming back, getting a chance to work with Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, all those guys in the mix still. And, there's a buzz around this team right now. And we actually talked to Hall of Famer quarterback Joe Theismann, who actually, if you remember, the Raiders beat in Super Bowl 18. And Joe had a really interesting kind of take on everything surrounding with the Raiders. He's known Coach Gruden for a long time now, over a decade, and he kind of gave his thoughts on not just Coach Gruden coming out of the booth and coming back to the sidelines, but kind of the scope of the AFC West. Joe's a radio analyst now for the Washington Redskins, and as you guys know, Redskins and Chiefs made a lot of noise this week here in Minnesota, finalizing a deal that sends Alex Smith from Kansas City to Washington, essentially starting the official start of the Patrick Mahomes era in Kansas City. But he was saying that with that trade, it kind of throws the division not into flux, but it kind of throws it into this place that it hasn't been in a while, where it is so wide open. You have the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr and the Raiders, hopefully never a surge in 2018. But then this kid Mahomes, he said, I mean, this is a guy who can sling the rock. And he had a lot of really interesting things to say about, obviously, Derek Carr and his buddy John Gruden and what to expect there in 2018. But kind of just the scope of the division and how wild things are going to get out west in 2018. So here's our conversation with Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Theismann on the Official Raiders Podcast.
Theismann back. Looks off to the left. He fires it out there. Intercepted. Jack Squirrel. Touchdown, Raiders. I don't believe it.
Your Washington Redskins made a little bit of noise last night trading for Alex Smith. Kind of just your general impressions of that trade and what you expect to see from him going forward.
Well, I think it was more than just a little noise. I think it was very, very important, to finally put an end to the Kirk Cousins debates. We've debated so much. Is Kirk going to be franchised? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? I constantly get asked that question. Now that's been solved. I think it's a great deal for everybody. Kirk gets to be a true unrestricted free agent, gets to go wherever he wants, which I think he would have done anyway. The Redskins probably save about $30 million as far as the total contract goes. You get a quarterback who's been to the playoffs, a guy that runs a system somewhat similar to the way the Washington Redskins did it. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they get a third round pick and they get a football player in Kendall Fuller. So everybody seems to have won. And Patrick Mahomes gets a chance to play football in Kansas City. So every quarterback involved in this deal is going to have an opportunity going forward.
So obviously this trade is the first domino that's inevitably going to start, you know, a chain reaction throughout the league for the next couple months. But in particular in that AFC West, it seems like with Alex Smith out of the picture now in Washington, and like you said, Patrick Mahomes getting the keys to that car, it seems like that division in particular opens up a lot.
Well, you know, you never know with San Diego simply because Philip Rivers continues to get older and older. I think Derek Carr is the next up-and-coming young man that we can really get excited about. He and a guy like Matthew Stafford, of course, Alex, I don't think is too old as far as that goes. The Denver Broncos are still looking for somebody to be able to play quarterback. I mean, that's the constant that you're looking at right there. And, of course, Kansas City is going to go with the young guy. I think John Gruden going back, first of all, to the Raiders is sensational. The Raiders going to Vegas, sensational. I think there's some great moves happening for the Oakland Raider fans, or now the Las Vegas Raider fans, as they go forward. You know, everybody talked about John Gruden, for example. Well, you know, John's been away from the game. People don't realize John never left the game. John's been studying football for the last 9 years. He's been accumulating information, accumulating knowledge, sitting down with young players, sitting down with veteran players. If there's anybody that is more prepared than anybody to be able to coach in this league, it's John Gruden, and I'm excited for him.
You know, how valuable, and we've been talking to so many people since obviously we hired Coach Gruden about his kind of, I don't want to say hiatus from the game, because like you said, he was studying, he was locked in, he was doing all that. How beneficial is that time away going to be for him? A chance to recharge, but a chance not only to recharge, but to stay incredibly locked in on not only the players and all that kind of stuff, but the trends in the NFL, what's working, what's not working. Because as we know, this game changes year to year to year. And, you know, one of Gruden's best attributes was his ability to kind of adapt. So how, looking back now on his past 9 years in the booth and doing all the things that he's done, how valuable is that time going to be for him?
I think it's been invaluable. I really do. Because like you pointed out, he hasn't been away from the game of football. People think he took a hiatus. He just moved to another aspect of it. That's like John Lynch out in San Francisco. He went from the booth to general manager. As an announcer, we get a chance to see everybody. From ownership all the way down to equipment, down to preparation, every aspect of the game we have a chance to study and look at. You look at the good organizations, you look at the organizations that aren't as good, and then you take the best of all and you put it together. John has a concept and a philosophy that he had when he was in Oakland before and when he was in Tampa before. That hasn't changed. His love and passion, the fact that he's only going to sleep 3.5 hours a night, that's not going to change. You know, the Raiders are going to get John Gruden. They're going to get a much more, I would say, sophisticated version, if there is such a thing, only because he's had a chance to study so much more.
You know, when asked about, you know, Coach Gruden said one of the main reasons he didn't pull the wool over anyone's eyes, and one of the big reasons he came back now is he goes, I got a quarterback I can work with. I got a quarterback that can win, that is talented, that was arguably an MVP candidate in 2016 before he broke his leg. But you look at his 2017, and, you know, it's hard to make an argument that he took a step forward. Derek, obviously, statistically, not where he wanted to be last year, and the wins and losses, you know, kind of bear that out. How confident are you that he's going to be able to get back on track in 2018 with Gruden and with the return of Greg Olsen, his first offensive coordinator, back in the mix?
I've said for many years, the quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. You can't drop the football and expect to be a quarterback that can play at an efficient level. You can't have guys putting the ball on the ground. You can't wind up running for your life. You can't have defenses that aren't able to stop people. I think there were a lot of different things, key injuries, key situations for the Raiders that didn't allow them to get where they want to get to. I've talked to John every year for the last 9 years since he left football. We've been friends for a long, long time. And I asked him, when are you going to get back into coaching? And the one thing he told me on a consistent basis and an annual basis, he said, I would only consider going back if I knew I had a quarterback, which is exactly what you pointed out. And that's exactly what he has in Derek Carr, a young quarterback that he can take and mold and groom and do something with. Believe me, the Oakland Vegas Raiders are in for a real surprise when it comes to the football players. He knows what he wants. He knows what he's going to ask of them. Now, if they want to dedicate themselves to being the football players they can be, there's a chance they can be back, I guess, in Atlanta next year, getting ready for a Super Bowl.
You know, as a former quarterback yourself, how how easy or how difficult is it to kind of put a season behind you that obviously didn't go the way that you wanted it to kind of be able to put that behind you and look ahead and be like, look, I still have a lot of football ahead of me, my best football ahead of me, and kind of right the ship and kind of put the ship back on course there?
I think what you have to do is learn the lessons from the season that you had. I learned probably more from the Super Bowl we lost than the Super Bowl we won. I learned more about myself. And then you dedicate yourself to improve those things that you didn't do well. And every day you want to get better at the things you didn't do well and work on the things that you've done well and continue to improve in that area as well. I think this year was invaluable for Derek because he had a terrific year. Now he struggled a little bit, sort of brought his feet back down to earth. Not that he got a big head, but sometimes you get feeling pretty good. Now all of a sudden you're back to the grind. You're back to getting ready. You're back to being the quarterback you want to be. And, you know, the second, third year sometimes really tough on guys. Look at Dak Prescott in his second year. You know, he struggled a little bit. Look at Jameis Winston, struggled a little bit. You know, these are guys that you would expect to be much, much better coming forward in 2018.
You know, in everything that we've seen, we've read, we've talked to Coach Gruden about, you know, I think the one thing that kind of comes to mind, the adjective, is just energy, intensity, a guy who gets after it. And you know, we've all seen the viral clips of him going and getting after quarterbacks for not doing things, you know, ever so right, you know, ever so correctly. Is there going to be a kind of a, not a learning curve, but will there be a transition with the relationship between John and Derek and how, in particular, John kind of handles Derek?
Absolutely. There'll be a transition period. If you have a new coach coming in, if it was anybody. John has a specific way that he wants things done. Derek will learn that his way will be John's way. And when the two minds meet and Derek knows exactly what John's expecting, then you're going to see the efficiency of an offense. But there's no question there's going to be a transition period. And if I'm Derek, I'm standing there with my arms wide open saying, bring it on, coach. I can't wait to be your quarterback.
All right, last one. Since we are at the Super Bowl, predictions for the game, who do you think is going to take it home?
I think New England's going to win, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Philadelphia will. This has been the toughest Super Bowl for me to predict in the last 5 years. I just really, really believe that Philadelphia has all the weapons that are necessary, but how do you go against New England? Because they always find a way to win.
Always good to sit down with a Hall of Famer. Big thank you to Joe Theismann for carving out a couple minutes for us. And so like we said, we're here in Minneapolis on Radio Row, as are the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. And as such, they have all their press junkets, all their press responsibilities, which are similar to a normal week, just, you know, multiplied by 1,000. And Bill Belichick, during one of his press conferences this week, obviously asked so much about the Philadelphia Eagles and game planning for them and Tom Brady. And how do you guys stay locked in and win yet another championship? But he did field one question, a single question, about the Raiders, about the return of John Gruden to the sidelines, leaving the broadcast booth, getting back in the mix with the silver and black. So here is his answer to that.
Yeah, I have a ton of respect for John. So, yeah, it's great to have him back as a coach.
To be fair, as a guy who's kind of made his hay and become known as a dude who doesn't really have that much to say, I'll take 20 words. 20 words on Gruden isn't bad. I think no shame in that. No shame in that, Coach Belichick. We appreciate the 20 words. So moving on now to a guy who had a lot more than 20 words to say about the Oakland Raiders, our old pal, Maurice Jones-Drew. Currently now an analyst with NFL Network, but we all remember him as the all-pro running back, the guy who led the league in rushing when he was down in Jacksonville, who spent 2014 with the silver and black. And MJD, since he was a Raider for that 1 year, one of our old pals, one of our favorites who comes around to these types of events. And, you know, we talked to Maurice, and Maurice has such a unique perspective on things because not only was he a former player, but he was a former player not that long ago. He's a guy who gets it. He gets the social media aspect of everything. He gets what it's like to be a young dude in this league. And, you know, he's very relatable. He's a guy that you want to sit down, hang out with, just, you know, talk shop with for a little bit. And, you know, we ran into Maurice a couple times this week while we've been out here. And we said, Maurice, we gotta get a couple minutes with you. And he was good enough to come over, spend some time with us the other day. And he is, like I said, such a unique perspective on things. And so he talked to us not only about the return of Gruden to the sidelines, but also the return of offensive coordinator Greg Olsen, who, if you remember, was Maurice's OC his year when he was back in Oakland in 2014. Not only that, but Maurice, obviously Bay Area legend, went to De La Salle, Went to UCLA, came back, obviously played for the Raiders towards the end of his career. But when he was at De La Salle, his quarterback was none other than the new guy that the Raiders just hired, our new quarterback's coach, Brian Callahan, was actually Mojo's quarterback when he was at De La Salle. So he shared us some great tidbits about Brian, what to expect from him, what Derek Carr can expect from him in 2018. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Maurice Jones-Drew on the Official Raiders Podcast. So, Maurice, we were talking last night, and you obviously have a close connection to our new quarterbacks coach. So you actually played college, or you played high school football with him, right?
Yeah, Brian Callahan. I was in the 10th grade and 11th grade. He was a year older than me, as well as Nick Holtz, who's a quality control there now. Real close ties to him. He's coming back home. I think a lot of us De La Salle Spartans are excited. I'm excited that he's back with the Raiders, and he has an opportunity to work with Derek Carr, who showed that he has the ability to make some big-time plays and be a big-time quarterback in this league. So I'm excited to see these two work together.
We were talking last night, and you said one of the things that really kind of, you know, separates Brian from the rest of the guys in his kind of age is his attention to detail. So specifically, what is he going to be able to do to really help Derek in 2018?
I think one of the things is he's going to coach him relentlessly, right? So sometimes when you can make a big play, but you may not have done it the right way, the way that they see it fit, and that means you're going to get coached. Most coaches are going to say, well, you scored, we'll let that slide. I think Brian is a guy who's going to be making sure every drop is right, every progression start is right, every read is right, as well as you guys, Coach Gruden and Greg Olsen. They're going to all be there. And it's similar to the way that the Rams helped with Jared Goff, where you have all this quarterback knowledge around a quarterback to kind of pick and choose from. I think, you know, Derek will have, everywhere he looks, there'll be someone spewing quarterback knowledge at him in certain plays and certain things. So I think it's going to be really exciting for Derek and this offense as a whole.
Speaking of Ole was obviously there the last time you were Raider.
Yes.
You know, how good is it to see him back in the mix? And what's that going to do for Derek to just have another familiar face, a guy that he recognizes back in the fold?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you have a new staff, there's so much uncertainty. And there's so many different things that, you know, you're a little nervous. You don't know how it's going to react. Well, obviously, Greg Olsen being there, it gives you that comfort zone where, okay, I've worked with Ole. I know what Ole's like. I know the drills he wants to do. Derek performed very well as a rookie in that offense. I think his offense is going to be a little bit different than what Gruden is going to run, but I think Derek is going to excel in it. And I think with that being said, when you have a relationship with someone, they can be harder on you. They can really hold your foot to the fire. And with that being said, that's what makes you great. And so Derek's done a great job. I know Jack did that, but he'll continue to get coached. And I think it'll be exciting to see what John and these guys do.
Last year, obviously not the year that really anyone wanted or anticipated happening. What's it going to take for Derek in particular to have a bounce back 2018?
I think, you know what, to be honest, I think they'll be fine. You know, you had a lot of injuries. You had some inconsistency in some of the, you know, decision making, the catching. I mean, it was a whole, they weren't running the ball well with that offensive line. And so I think Coach Gruden's going to come in, fix some things. Tom Cable's back. You know, there's a lot of familiar faces coming back to this organization that I think is going to definitely help out a ton. And I think that, you know, the key is to start fast, though. And starting fast is you have to come out the gate winning two or three games to create that culture that they want. And if they do that, I think that you'll see this team back where they have to go.
So you're obviously a Pro Bowl running back in this league. You know and have forgotten more football than all three of us combined will ever know our entire life. What is a John Gruden offense going to look like? What are the characteristics that a Gruden offense looks
like? Literally, go back to the old Raiders when they were winning with Rich Gannon. You'll see a lot of runs. You go back to Tampa Bay. He's all about running the ball, play action pass. He wants to shorten the game. He wants the quarterback to make high completion throws, which are under 15 yards. He'll take shots when need be, and Derek has a strong arm to do that. But he's going to make sure he's accurate in the intermediate to short throws. And if he's intermediate, if he's good in that, like Tom Brady and a lot of other quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and those guys, then you can expand the playbook. So they're going to start small, and then they're going to obviously make it broader and bigger for the offense. But a lot of it comes down to Derek being really accurate with the ball, making the right decision, the receivers catching the ball and making plays.
You know, John Gruden obviously inheriting a talented roster, but at the end of the day, this was a 6-10 team last year. You know, realistically, what are the needs? What are the holes that have to be filled going forward?
We talked about it last night, but I think defensively, you got to. For me personally, if I was a coach there, I would move Bruce to defensive end and have him and Khalil rushing. I'd make sure Mario Edwards is healthy, have him play the 3 or the 1 technique. You need linebackers. I know Navarro Bowman's there, and he did a really good job last year, but you need some younger, more athletic guys in this league now with all the passing and things like that. So you have to attack the defensive side early. Tight end's another, position that you want to look for, because in Gruden's offense, tight ends touch the ball at least 35% of the time. So you need a guy that you can rely on that can block as well as catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you're getting older in some places on this team. And, that's part of football. Guys get old. And so you got to make sure you replace some pieces that have gotten a little older. And not necessarily replace them, but you want to give, I know a lot of people in the Raider Nation may not be happy with Reggie Nelson, but Reggie Nelson is very smart. I played with him his first couple of years in Jacksonville. Very smart, very athletic guy. He's getting older, but you want to bring a young guy in there with him so he can teach him. And the young guy can see how to be a pro. And then eventually when the young guy gets it, then you move on from those guys. So we'll see how it goes.
So I know that you got a pretty good gig at NFL Network right now. But just hearing you talk, would you ever get back into coaching? Is that something you'd ever think about? Or are you pretty happy where you are?
I'm happy where I am. But, everyone wants to coach. I think that's, when you play football, you want to go out and compete. And it's tough to compete on the TV side. But, the time, I have babies, right? So I have little babies. And I think you guys remember them running around during practice sometimes. I got to spend time with my family. Football is taking a lot out. So right now we'll see how it goes. But eventually I think I'll get back into coaching.
So you were there back at the 0-10 year, Derek's rookie year, arguably one of the lowest of the lows that this team has seen. So during that time, give me one good Derek Carr story, a good Derek Carr story that kind of encapsulated.
I think there's a ton of them. I remember, I remember being there and Derek like asking everyone for information, how to be a better player. I know once he took over the starting role, he was like, what do I have to do as a starting quarterback? He asked me specifically, what do I need to do to earn the trust of my teammates? And my one thing was, listen, stay in the pocket. Don't run. If you stay in the pocket, guys will block for you. They'll protect you. And I felt like he's done that throughout his career. And the way he shows toughness by getting hit sometimes, playing with dislocated pinkies, those type of things. I think that, to me, is probably the epitome of what he's done for this organization, is making them much tougher and better.
All right, so last one. We're at the Super Bowl. Prediction. What is the MJD prediction for the game?
Yeah, it's simple. The Eagles have done a great job, and they've won, but their fans are so mean and rude on Twitter. I'm going to go with the Patriots just because of that.
We're back there watching Mother, and we couldn't help overhearing you two little geeks. You tell us we don't deserve to be champions. You tell us you're going to show us where the power and who is the glory. How do you think we got to be world champions? By beating nobodies. We've beaten the best that the World Wrestling Federation has to offer, and we're going to be champions for a long, long time. Right, Hawk?
How about that? That was the intro music for WWE Hall of Famer, member of the Legion of Doom, the Animal. And I think one of the best things about coming to the Super Bowl is that, I was saying earlier, it's like the epicenter for all things sports and entertainment this week. And you see so many people from so many different walks of life, so many musicians, entertainers, guys and gals that you might not necessarily think would come to the Super Bowl. Everyone's here. It's such a celebration of everything. And I think the Animal, WWE Hall of Famer, is the perfect embodiment of that. He's got a new exciting podcast coming out, so be sure you check that out. But we were talking to him, and he was just the nicest dude, the most excitable dude, the most relatable dude. And he was just telling us stories. And, full disclosure, we've kind of, as a department, excluding one of our videographers, came to the WWE pro wrestling game a little later in life than most normal people do. But it's been such a fun kind of education experiment, learning all things pro wrestling. And Animal is such a good dude to come kind of break it down with us. And he told us a story about Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is a department favorite, I gotta say. And it's just one of those stories from the road, is two old road dogs just chopping it up. And it was great to hear. So here is our conversation with the Animal on the Official Raiders Podcast. We are here with Joe Laurinaitis, the Road Warrior Animal, WWE Hall of Famer. So I was reading your bio, and as a man from Minnesota, growing up, was the Vikings your team?
You know, actually, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, to be quite honest. No, but listen, I lived in Minnesota for 35 years. And so I kind of transformed myself to be a Minnesota Viking. But, you know, my son James had played in the NFL. The Vikings were his favorite team. So it's kind of crazy, man. This town, I tell you what, if the Vikings would have made it, you would have about 5 million Norwegians and Swedes here in the Mall of America right now.
So as a guy who's kind of adopted Minnesota, and you said you've been here for 35 years, it's got to be kind of cool to see this state, this city, getting a chance to host what is no doubt the biggest spectacle in all of sports.
Oh, yeah, man, without a doubt. Listen, I've been on some events, you know, 100,000 people in Wembley Stadium in London, England, and the Tokyo Dome with 60,000, 70,000 people. This is crazy. There's nothing bigger than the NFL. Man, you know, I see you guys, you know, got the black and gold, black and silver on, right, man, from the Oakland Raiders. Are you kidding me? Where do you think the Oakland Raider fans got the spike shoulder pad idea from? Hawk and I started that, baby, man. If you look back, my first shoulder pads were black with silver spikes on them with chains hanging on them. So it's good to see what we did in our business transfer over in football. Because every time I went down to my son who played at Ohio State, right, there were some red and gray shoulder pads, some Ohio State guy. I saw this year when Miami was playing. If you guys watched the Miami game, right? There was some Miami girl had the orange and green spike shoulder pads on, and the Georgia Bulldogs had gold shoulder pads on with black spikes. You know, someone made a big play. They got to wear the gold spikes. It's kind of crazy how it transcends over, because there's a lot of camaraderie between football and wrestling, believe it or not.
So I was talking to our resident wrestling expert, Marcus, here. And so he was telling me kind of all about your backstory. And we've kind of come to the wrestling game a little later. It took, you know, growing up I didn't watch, but when we started hanging out with this guy, he kind of gave it, we're in the midst of our wrestling history, if you will. So was there a match that you really sticks out to you, you're kind of your favorite with Hawk? And obviously you guys had so much success for such a great run. But is there one match where you think, you know, that was the one? This is the best we were.
You know, I've been so lucky, man. I've gotten to go up and down the highway around the world. I've wrestled 6,000 matches, bro, and every one of them was a main event, and it's hard for me to pick one match. But I tell you what, you know, from going from where you guys are, from San Francisco to Oakland to L.A. to New York to Hawaii to China to Japan to India, I think Madison Square Garden, you know, they had the thing what they called the Big Three or the Big Four. You had Georgia Championship Wrestling, WCW, AWA, NWA, and then WWF. So there was Big Four top thing. Georgia Championship Wrestling, maybe not so much, but there's the Big Four. Hawk and I were going for the Big Four. Now, no other team ever has won all those championships. And when we won them in Madison Square Garden, the place came unglued. Because they knew in the wrestling world, because Madison Square Garden Network, they had their own network on Monday nights, the place came unglued because they knew that history was happening there. And, you know, when you're in the business doing it, you don't think about it. You know what I mean? You don't think about it, oh, God, I'm a superstar. That's not what you're doing. You're doing your job to put money on the table, food on the table, make money for your family. And when people compare you to being the Tom Brady of your business, Tom Brady's going to go down as the best of all time as quarterbacks, right? Evidently, on his stat sheet, the way he's doing things, and Hawk and I to be in a category like that, bro, it's totally humbling, man. It's surreal, to be honest with you.
So obviously you had such a great, illustrious run with Hawk. Obviously, Hall of Fame careers about you. Is outside of Hawk, though, is there a guy that you really enjoyed working with? Was there a guy that was, you know, we had a lot of fun together. We were able to do some really fun, exciting things.
I used to travel on the road with a guy named the Warlord, who a lot of people know in this world. He was 345-pound monster. And the British Bulldog, David Boy Smith, was one of my friends. To travel on the road with guys like that, different personalities from different countries, and you get to go over there, their home country. And it's really cool to meet their families and stuff, man. That's the best thing about it. It's not so much one guy per se, but it's getting to travel around this world and then bringing my stories back to tell my kids, you know, and you never know. In the beginning, man, my son James, before he went into the NFL, he was thinking about wrestling. You know, after Ohio State playing ball there, if it wasn't going to work out, he was going to try wrestling, I'm sure. You know, but then it worked out really good for him. So I don't think I have to worry about wrestling right now, to be honest with you.
So I know you have a podcast that's coming out. Could we expect to hear more stories like that, more, you know, exciting things from your time on the road, and, you know, things that maybe a casual wrestling fan wouldn't know unless they tuned into your podcast?
Yeah, that's the whole thing about my Old World Rush podcast. It's on STL.com podcast network out of St. Louis. We tell great wrestling stories. I tell some great wrestling stories in the past about Steve Austin. I had an interview with the Godfather the other day, Smash the Demolition I did yesterday, Mr. Kennedy I did yesterday as well. So I most of my guys I interview are Hall of Fame guys or future Hall of Fame guys. It's great. And we talk about old stories because everybody, let me tell you something, wrestlers are characters, bro. We got a lot of crazy stories to talk about, you know. I got a thing scheduled here with Rikishi, Samoan heritage in our business, you know. From the Wild Samoans to The Rock to Roman Reigns. I mean, come on. The lineage is great. You know, one of my good friends is going to be on the show, too. Rey Mysterio, one of the greatest Mexican wrestlers of all time. You know, because Lucha Underground is growing so fast. And now people are, because of the network and because of TV, now they're getting to see what we knew already. Because I'm real good friends with the Guerreros, right? Chavo Guerrero and Eddie Guerrero and Hector Guerrero and Mondo Guerrero. Now they're getting to see the great Mexican stars come up, which is huge. The great Japanese stars that'll come up is huge. Man, wrestling's growing to great new heights.
Us as a department, I'll show my badge for a sec. We are huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fans. What is your best Stone Cold story?
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a funny story that would include my son, right? Here you are now. Three kids on my son's hockey team made it in pros. Blake Wheeler, starting center for the Winnipeg Jets. Dominique Barber, who played for the Houston Texans, his brother's Marion Barber, that played for the Cowboys, right? They had a great career. All are on the same team. Where do you get that? Three kids are playing pro that play the same hockey team that played other sports, too, as well, right? So I used to bring, like, 12, 15 kids to the matches at St. Paul Civic Center here in Minnesota and let them run around in the ring, get the feel of what we feel like, to let them know that, hey, this ain't no show, this ain't play. That thing is really hard what you hit on, right? So I'm sitting there watching, and all of a sudden I'm in back, and a guy comes next to me with a spit cup full of chew, and he hits me in the arm, and it's Austin, Steve Austin, right? He goes, hey, Joe, which one of those boys is yours? In that deep southern accent of his, right? I said, the one with the big ears and big feet, trying to grow into him out there. He's only 12 years old. He goes, hold this, hit my music. I hit the switch, his music plays. He runs down to the ring. Now Steve turns into a big, giant 12-year-old. All the kids ran out of the ring except for my son, James. He says, James, watch the stomach. He grabs James, throws him into the ring. James doesn't think any of it, runs, hits ropes, and Austin stunners him right in the middle of the ring. Then he got hogpiled by 12 kids. You know, that's the cool stuff about our business, man. Most of the guys are great family guys. You know, when you get out of your character, you go home and you're a normal human being, I call it, right? So that's the kind of things that go on in the wrestling business, man. The kind of stories you get to look forward to listening and hearing on my podcast, man. So there you go.
So we are with the Oakland Raiders. We came out here from the North Bay, the Bay Area. So we got to ask, familiarity with the Oakland Raiders. When you think of the Oakland Raiders, when you think of that mystique, that history, kind of what comes to mind for you?
Kenny Stabler. Who else, bro? I mean, right, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Man, those guys were freaking crazy. Listen, I'm a old school Oakland Raider fan. I have been, even though I grew up in Philly and was in Minnesota. I did a sitcom called Learning the Ropes with Lyle Alzado. So I knew Matuszak and Alzado and would talk lifting and other things we really can't share in the air right now. But, you know, but yeah, man, listen, the Oakland Raiders, talk about guys that are bad, you know what, bro. That's the mistake about it. And Howie Long. Howie Long, Chris's dad, you know, Chris played with James at the Rams. I saw Howie all the time, man. What a great guy. And I'm so happy what he's done in his career after football and what he's been able to achieve. And then, hey, he's got two kids playing in the NFL. Come on, right? It's great, man.
We got John Gruden, the head coach now, and it looks like we might need some linebackers. You think James would look good in silver and black?
Bro, listen, if he didn't retire, I think he will look great, man. He's with the Big Ten Network now. There's Big Ten Wrap-Up every week and does stuff with the NFL Network and with Fox. So I don't know where it's going to take him, man, but I tell you what, he would have loved. I saw him do a couple of interview segments with John Gruden when John Gruden was hosting the show. And Gruden, listen, probably one of the best catches ever in football. I mean, I'm glad to see him go to the silver and black and You know, hey, with John Madden leading the way there before, now you got a guy like Gruden come in. Things are looking up for the Raiders, man.
All right, last one, because I know you got to run. Prediction for the game.
I'm going with the Eagles. I think the Eagles got a better defense. You know, I think offensively, if Nick Foles plays the way he did against the Vikings out of his mind, I think the Eagles have a good chance. It's going to be a close game, though. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout game. But then again, they're getting Gronkowski back, right? Mm-hmm. Ooh, man, that's the great equalizer for the Patriots, man. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Eagles this time.
Oh, my gosh, the future looks bright. Oh, my gosh. Don't give up on your pride. Don't let any of that pride go. I can see it, that tradition of excellence, that silver and black. Oh, it's going to be a cloud over the NFL next year, and it's going to be in the theme colors of the Oakland Raiders. Next season, it's our season. What up, Gruden? I got your text. I'm going to hit you back later, okay? What's up, Beast Mode? Thank you for the gift over the holidays. I got one for you, too. When I say Raiders, you say Nation. Raiders!
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. That's Sway Calloway from Sway in the Morning on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Not just from Sirius. I mean, Sway, obviously, MTV. He's done so much and a diehard member of the Raider Nation. A dude who bleeds silver and black that was nice enough to come and kick it with us for a little bit, tell some great stories. And obviously, you know, after hearing that message, I don't know how you can't be fired up. Sway's fired up. We're all fired up. And like I said, a huge thank you to Sway and his friend Heather B for hanging out with us. And Sway told me I was a citizen of Sway in the Morning today, so that's a win. I will take that as a win. If nothing else good happens today, Sway told me that I was a member, that I was a citizen. So that was pretty all right. So here in Minneapolis, a couple of days out from Super Bowl 52, so we got to break it down a little bit, right? That's why we're here. We came here to talk football. So in my heart of hearts, as much as I want the Philadelphia Eagles to rise up and take this game, as well as Nick Foles is playing, as close as he is to putting the final credits on his Disney movie, I just don't see it, man. I don't think that giving Bill Belichick 2 weeks to get a game plan together, having Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, giving him 2 weeks to get ready for a game, you know, going against an Eagles team that is exciting and fun and has that great underdog mentality. I just don't see it. I wish I did. I so badly wished that I could see them taking this game, but in my heart of hearts, I just don't. Now, would I love the Eagles to take care of business? Absolutely, of course I would. Who wouldn't? I love that underdog role they're playing. I love kind of the fun that the city of Philadelphia is having. I love how the city of Philadelphia has just rode with them, has adopted them. And those people are hungry. They want this Super Bowl. That city wants this Super Bowl. And I would love nothing more for them to have it, but I don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, the Raiders played both those teams this year, the Eagles and the Pats, unfortunately falling to both teams. But, you know, it's going to be a good game. I really think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a game that comes down to, you know, a 49-yard field goal as time expires. A game is going to come down to a fourth and goal with 10 seconds left. Like, I think it's going to be one of those kind of nail-biting, a lot of points scored kind of games. That's what I truthfully think. But I don't think that the Eagles are going to pull it off. And that's no shot at anyone on the Eagles. I think Doug Peterson has done an outstanding job. I don't think he gets enough respect and credit for the job that he's done there this year. Obviously, they're in the Super Bowl, and obviously he's going to get some accolades now, but a dude's just a football coach, man. That's a dude who gets guys going, who puts his team in the best position to win, regardless of who's under center, obviously, as we've seen these past couple of weeks since Carson Wentz went down. But look, man, the Eagles are going to be back. The Patriots are the Patriots. And so until someone knocks them off and Tom Brady decides to gallop into the sunset with his, you know, 55-year-old body after he's played in a couple more AFC championship games, then, hey, you have to assume that they're going to be there. But I think it's going to be a great game, man. I think, truthfully, the two best teams in the NFL made it there. Now, obviously, do we wish that Carson Wentz was under center for the Eagles just as a fan of the game? Sure we do. But injuries are part of the game, man. It's no fun, but it's the reality. And you know, if Nick Foles can pull this off, more power to him. And, you know, there won't be a more excited fan in Northern California than me. But I don't think it's going to happen. Sorry, Eagles fans. Fly, Eagles, fly. But I don't think this is the week for you, as much as I wish it was. So, like I said, we've been here on Radio Row all week, and we've had a ton of fun. And I want to thank everyone who's stopped by and talked to us, the fans that have stopped by and talked to us. You know who you are. We appreciate you guys coming by and spending a little time with us. All the media guys, the analysts, the former players, the current players. We saw Jalen Ware earlier this week. Chatted with him for a little bit. But, yeah, thank you everyone who made this week an awesome week. And I know that I've been teasing it for the past couple weeks, the past couple months, saying how much exciting, really cool stuff we have coming down the pipeline. But I genuinely mean that. We have a lot of really cool stuff cooking in 2018. And I know this is going to be an exciting year, both for the Silver and Black, the team, but for Silver and Black Productions, too. Like I said, we have a bunch of really innovative stuff coming down the pipeline, and a lot of stuff that I know you guys are really going to enjoy. So, like I said, thank you to all our guests. Thank you to Maurice Jones-Drew, Joe Theismann, The Animal. Thank you to everyone. So, guys, keep listening, and we are going to talk to you, and you're going to hear from us very, very soon. That I can promise.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.